Scripture reading today, Romans chapter 6, we're reading 16 through 18, Romans 6, 16 through 18. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness.
Morning, everybody. If I could get you over to turn over to Matthew, the sixth chapter. But before I do that, I have some stuff about mothers here. I wanted to get this out here. But Romans, the sixth chapter. So it's Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out here. And I just had some questions before I do my lesson. Anybody got reservations at a restaurant or anything going on? Nothing, don't have to leave. All right, don't have to drive away. Okay. All right, so paying attention to moms really fast. I just wanted to do this. Like moms, it's a very important job. And so it's good to have a day for her and everything. And they do so much for us all the time. So, and I tell you, if you can pull it off for moms, there's nothing like having a mom at home. I don't know your financial situations, but it is great to have a mom at home and stuff. And they've done so much for us. I don't know if you ladies realize that, but for boys, your mom is the first girl you ever tried to impress. My mom would go out in the backyard, I'd be out there playing, and I would do that thing like, "Hey, Mom, look, no hands," right? To which she would reply, get off the roof right now, get back down on the ground here. So I impressed her and stuff. Get off the roof. Don't get on the roof, Anthony and Andrew. I just want to let you know that. Put gray hairs in your mom there and stuff there. Okay. You know, and I was talking with Josh. You're in trouble. You're not in trouble here. So. But, you know, you look at some, when we just had our Lord's Supper, and we think about, you know, we remember the Lord's death every Sunday. And there's some groups that go like, well, we remember the Lord's death like quarterly, or we remember the Lord's death once a year, and it makes it really special for us to do that. So I always compare this to Mother's Day. How's that working out for you with Mother's Day? We're only going to remember Mom one day a year and stuff on that. And my dad, I was telling that to Mindy and Allison, I said, my dad did this one year. She goes like, "Honey, it's Mother's Day today. Take the day off. You can do all that stuff tomorrow that you normally do today." So he landed helicopters on trucks and saved guys' lives, but you know that was his forte, not this other stuff there. So okay, so we wanna you know do more for moms than just one day a week a year on this thing. You know, so how's she doing? Read the room and stuff. We want to be good to our moms all the time, not just once a year and stuff, because all the stuff they do. So, you know, you look around, how can you help mom out? Read the room. Is she having a bad day? Josh was saying, that's like, sometimes he comes home and he sees Allison, he goes like, "Hey, let's go get a pizza." And she's, "Oh, thank you." I said, scoring points there for that. That's what they're on that stuff. And you know, doing nice things. Cleaning up your rooms, doing the chores that you're supposed to do. You don't have to wait to be told to do. You just every day you go there and you see her doing something, then you help out and stuff. That makes a big difference. And a big one is just telling them that you love them. They want to acknowledge that. I heard this comedian one time. He said, "You know, for moms, you could take a piece of wood, write Mom on it, hand it to her, and she's going to start crying because she's just so happy about that." They're very easy to please and stuff. So, and a shout out to all the ladies that maybe not have kids, but you do those mom things. People notice that stuff. People think of you as their mom when you're doing that stuff. So we want to just do that. Don't wait till the second Saturday in May to do something nice for them. Always find ways to do those things for us. But that's it for Mother's Day. Let's get in. I'll try to crank this thing out. All right, we're in chapter 6 of Matthew. We're continuing in this Sermon on the Mount series. So we're looking in chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, whether moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Okay, have you ever heard about the term the big spender or the spendthrift? These are the guys, you know, the people that they just don't seem to have money. Anytime they get money, they spend it. They spend it on a bunch of little stupid things. They're just the money is burning a hole in their pocket. It's gone, and they don't have any savings. They don't have anything savings for a rainy day. And something breaks down around the house. Then they kind of go into financial crisis to try to take care of it because they weren't saving any kind of money. They were just in financial trouble. Well, this sermon is not about them. I don't know if you've heard the word miser. You might think of in the Christmas Carol, the character Ebenezer Scrooge had all this money and he's just holding on to it really tight and he won't give up anything like that. Well, I've heard of a real live Ebenezer Scrooge. It was this lady named Hetty Green. And she was born in 1834. She passed away in 1916. And during the Gilded Age of America, that occurred like from 1870 to the 1900s, where you had, you know, John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie and Cornelius Vanderbilt, J.P. Morgan, Jay Gould, all of these really vast millionaires with these giant mansions and stuff. Well, she, Hetty Green, was considered the richest woman in America during this time. And during this time, she would keep the same clothes on till they wore off. She would never buy new clothes and stuff. She wouldn't have hot water or heat in her house. Even though she lived like in New York City and that stuff was available, she didn't have anything like that. And the really bad part of this was she had her son Ned had to have a leg amputated because she took too long looking for a free clinic to take him to tend him stuff. So she really held on. She was she was a millionaire, but she lived like a pauper. Now, we may not think that we're that bad, but there are times when we kind of let our possessions possess us. You know, we get owned by our stuff here, and we're just concerned about the possessions in this life. So we're continuing with this Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is warning us now about possessions and to keep the things that we own from owning us here. So I got recap time here real quick. It says Jesus is, in this Sermon on the Mount, he's given us his constitution for citizenship in his kingdom. He's talking about how we're to be thinking, how we're to act, what emotions we should be having. And he starts out this whole sermon with the Beatitudes. He's starting out with these characteristics that each one of us should have, each one of these characteristics, these Beatitudes. These are the attitudes that he expects from his people. Then he talks about us being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, that the world's decaying and we're going to preserve it and stuff. That we're going to be the light to show the way to heaven and that. Then next he speaks about how our righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are putting on a big show. And he gives examples and example after example about Pharisees, how they appeared to be righteous, but they really weren't. They were looking for loopholes to get out of things all the time. And their hearts were far from God, even though they were trying to look like they're really righteous. So, and Jesus wants better of us on this thing. How our thoughts should be, how we handle anger. He talks about that. How we treat our wives, our spouses. Then he talks about how we should give, the ways that the attitude of giving and the attitude of praying and the attitude of fasting. How we do that. And so Jesus changes us now. He changes from this idea of don't be like them to be like this instead here. And he starts talking about treasure here. And three times he's mentioning about these treasures here. So Jesus wants us to seek the real treasure, and that's in heaven. That's that approval and praise of God. That praise and honor and glory from God here. So, all right, so we're looking at Matthew 6 and verse 19 again. And he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Okay, every one of us is a treasure hunter. Got the fedora cap, we're just like Indiana Jones, we're out looking for treasure here. But the problem is, there's many of us are searching for the wrong treasure. And what happens to earthly treasure? Jesus mentions some of this. A moth will eat a lot of your clothes up here. You got rust comes in there and decays everything and stuff. You got thieves just outright, it's gone when they break in and their stuff's gone here. But there's other earthly dangers here for our treasures here on earth. You got maybe fire takes everything. You got earthquakes or floods. I don't know if you've seen some of that. You know, there's somebody's house floating down the river. You see that a lot of times in major floods, and that there goes their treasure. You got political upheaval, things going, wars happening, and you got an economic downturns happened. You know, so earthly treasures do not, and most importantly, they cannot last here. You know, even if you got your stuff in a vault and it's insured, what happens at the end on the last day? We get that 1 Peter 3. It all gets burned up. It's all going to be gone here. It's all going to be wasted. It's not going to last. So the question for us then is why are we spending all of our time and all of our effort collecting stuff here? Is that what our life is about? You know, in verse 20 though, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. He says that there is this treasure that will last through eternity on it. And that's the treasure that we need to be looking for here instead. Now some people might, from these couple verses, they start to get the idea that says, hey, does this mean money's bad? You know, I remember 1 Timothy 6:10, you know, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And stuff, you know, is money bad? Or you know, if you buy something like a house, that's bad. You shouldn't be doing that. Or is Jesus saying, says, I don't want you working for stuff. I don't want you buying things, and I don't want you try to provide for your family or plan a retirement. You know. Many people have a lot more money than I am, and the reason is that I've got. He says the reason they do is because they're way smarter than me. They work harder than I do. They make way better decisions handling money. About their finances, they handle things better, and they have more money because they're making these simple little things here and stuff on that. But the opposite of dysfunction is dysfunction. You got people trying to hoard all kinds of stuff, but then you got the opposite. And this is a kind of an early concern in the church. People said, well, Jesus doesn't want me seeking earthly treasure, so I'm not even going to go to work. I'm going to live off everybody else because that's what you do. They'll take care of me and stuff. Jesus isn't saying this. Nowhere is he saying you need to stay away from money. He's never saying, like, don't get yourself a credit card. Don't get a mortgage on a house, because that money is filthy. And you touch it, you're going to be lost. Jesus never says anything like that. You know, Jesus and the apostles had their own treasury. Now, Judas mishandled it, but they had a treasury to buy things that they would need. You got the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16. He's talking about giving because he's collecting money for Christians in Judea that were in a midst of a famine. The Bible never bans private ownership of property. Again, Ananias and Sapphira kind of had some trouble in Acts 5, but it wasn't about owning property. It was that they were trying to fool the congregations into thinking that they were given a lot more than they were. But Peter just says, "Hey, it's yours. If you want to keep it, keep it. Don't be trying to fool everybody here." So the Bible doesn't say, "I don't want you working hard, and I don't want you to be a good steward. I don't want you saving for a rainy day." It doesn't say anything about that. It's not so much that the treasure that we have, but where our loyalty lies with these treasures here, where our trust lies. Are we counting on God? Are we trusting God? Or rather, are we going to put our trust in our possessions there? So verse 21, he just says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Stuff. You know, so this might mean a lot of people don't know where their hearts lie. You know, if you ask them, like, "Hey, where's your heart?" And they'll say, "Oh, I'm for God. Yeah, my heart's with God." But then you look at the stuff that they've got and how they think about their stuff, and that kind of makes it, "Hey, wait a minute. I say God, but I'm maybe putting more of my trust in my stuff than I do with God here and stuff. I spend all my effort and time on acquiring things there on that, acquiring wealth. And maybe to the point of missing out on spiritual things. You know, we got something going on. I got no time for that. We're working overtime this time here. I've got to make some more money here and stuff. I'd like to be with you folks, but I gotta be at work and stuff. You know, so I'm saying God, but I'm concerned more about my stuff and acquiring more stuff. And so Jesus is just saying, if you want to know where your heart is, look at your stuff here. And we might get that realization from a lot of people, like, you know, "Hey, I'm putting more emphasis on stuff than I do God here and stuff." All right, so we look in verses 22 and 23. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" So it first looks like Jesus is changing the subjects here, but he's really not here. What did the term "eye is bad" or "evil eye" mean to the people of Jesus' day here? You know, so, and what is going to be the eye here is used as another analogy for the heart, for your what your feelings on it, which means what you're interested in, what you love. And so Matthew 6 now, with these verses, he's still speaking about the heart here. And we can go back into some of the Old Testament here and see this. And we look in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 15th chapter in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 15 in verse 9. Remember that's what the year of Jubilee, every 7 years, you had to make things right. People, you might have had somebody that was a slave, or you might have bought somebody's property, but at the end of the 7 years, you were supposed to give that stuff back. But some of the people are like, "I don't know if I want to give this stuff back here." And so here's what Moses was talking about it. In Deuteronomy 15 and verse 9, he says, "Beware, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, 'The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand,' and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become a sin amongst you." So he's looking at that. You know, it's you're looking grudgingly. It's, you know, it's not your eye that's bad. There's nothing wrong with your eye that you go see an eye doctor. It's like you're just feeling greedy in your heart there. "I don't want to give it to you." It's you that's causing that stuff. We look over in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. And he's kind of mentioned that thing about the heart here. Proverbs 23 and verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." So the misers, they want to keep that stuff. That's their heart. That's how they don't want to share it with you and stuff. So we look even in Matthew 20, Matthew the 20th chapter. Remember that parable about the good rich guy that was out hiring all these workers for the whole day to work out in his vineyard? And then it was time to pay everybody. He starts off with the people that he just hired like the last hour of the day, and he pays them the same amount of money that he pays the people that worked all day, and how they're all mad about them. Well, we look in Matthew 20 and verse 15. He just says this, he says to them, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" They're mad at him for paying these people. And he's just saying, like, your eye is evil because I'm good. So he's being generous. So the evil eye is the people is having a greedy and covetous opinion on things there. So we're looking at that, Matthew 22 and 23. If your eye is bad, which means if your heart is greedy, then your whole body is going to be in darkness. So if you don't want to be possessed by your possessions, then we got to be thinking about, we got to be generous. We need to be generous. We need to be sharing with others. The person that refuses to be generous and they want to hold on to their stuff, they're the ones who have a bad eye. They've got a bad heart. And the person who is seeking that praise and honor from God, that treasure in heaven, well, they're always ready to help other people and stuff. So are you ready to share? Do you use what you've been blessed with to be a blessing to others? Do you have a good heart, or do you got an evil eye here? Now we look here now in verse 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't serve God and mammon. You gotta make a choice here on this thing. You can only serve one. Now, I would like to be able to serve two, you know. I used to think about that in the free market societies. I go to work, I put my 40 hours in, and when I come get done, it's my time. You know, I can do what I want to do. Kind of how we work there. So, and that's how things work in a free market society. They go like, "Hey, Mick, you want to work some overtime?" "Yes, I will work some overtime. I would like some more money." Or, "No, I will not work it. It's up to me to decide that." And you think that I have these kind of choices and stuff. But spiritually, we are not in a free market economy. We are considered slaves. So we look at that, Tim read there. We're looking in chapter 6 of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 16. "Do you know that who you present your slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness." So we're slaves. So we're either going to be a slave to righteousness or we're going to be a slave to sin. So we don't do that. We don't have we can put in some time for God and then the rest of the time is ours and it's our time in that. No, it's all God's or it's all sin's. We have to make that decision which way we're going to be serving there. And Jesus is telling us in Matthew 6:24, he says we got to make a choice because we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve both God and sin. We cannot clock in on Sunday and spend some time here, and then the rest of the week, it's on us, and we get to do whatever we feel like. We've paid our dues here, and we can do that. Now we give it all to God, or we give it to sin. Now that term mammon is more than just money. It started out meaning wealth entrusted to someone else for safekeeping for him. Kind of like God gives us everything, and so we're entrusted to care for that stuff. It's like putting things in a safety deposit box. But later this term kind of meant, this is what I trust in. Mammon is what I trust in, what the treasure that I trust in here. So are you putting your trust in God? Or are you putting your trust in your stuff there? So you can't serve God and your stuff at the same time. So it's all about our hearts. You get what you want. We need to decide, you know, do we want to have that earthly treasure, knowing what its end's going to be? It's all eventually, best case scenario, it's going to get wiped out at the end. Or we're going to go for that true treasure, that praise and honor and glory that comes from God, that true treasure from heaven, and that is the most enduring treasure. So that's Got that done in record time here, I think, on this. So appreciate everybody's lesson. We just offer you up now a opportunity if you need some help, need some prayers, need to obey the gospel, need to get strengthened up or encouraged. We ask you to come forward and let us know how we can assist you. And we'll do that now while we stand and sing our song of invitation.